Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Isaac Bruce going to join us 60 minutes from now, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, talk about his Rams, who are soaring high right now, 7-3. That defense beat up on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers last night. Brady throws two picks. Quite frankly, Jared Goff is trying to give the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the game through an early third quarter interception. Brady could only convert it into a field goal, and they threw a pick late. Brady converts that one into a touchdown. They had to settle for a field goal, and weird play call by Sean McVay on third down. I didn't get throwing the football late, or excuse me, they ran the football late. On that third and eight play, they run it or they throw it. For some reason, I can't remember, but it was I remember the moment not loving the play call. And then they had to settle for that field goal. And you left a lot of time on the clock for Brady. Brady starts, you're thinking he's going to march down the field, and then he throws the ball 20 feet past the defender. And the next thing you know, the Rams get another interception, and the game's over right there. So right now where we currently sit, this is a Rams team that I told you last week I thought they were going to win. They ran the football, right? They ran the football late? Yeah. Which it didn't make sense. And the reason why it didn't make sense was because I think Tampa Bay then called a timeout, right? They should have thrown the football. With how aggressive they were being in that game, they should have thrown the football. That's to me what they should have done. So I know people weren't happy with that. But right now the Rams are moving in one direction at 7-3. And I think they're going to win the NFC West because of that defense. Now, offensively, I like Kyler Murray better than Jared Goff. I also like Russell Wilson clearly better than Jared Goff. But the Seahawks defense stinks. And the Cardinals defense, it's not a bad defense. You got some players on there, but it's inconsistent. And you look at the Rams defense and all these statistical categories, the Rams are top five. And last night, if I'm a Rams fan, yeah, I'm still concerned about what Jared Goff's going to be. But your team was able to win a game where the quarterback was trying to give the game away in the third and fourth quarter. And you had a team in the Bucs that you're thinking are going to eventually go capitalize. Like when Brady has the ball late, Trace, you're thinking to yourself that this is going to be a Bucs victory. Or at a bare minimum, the Bucs are going to tie this game and get it into overtime.
Here he comes. You know, you gave him too much time, just like we talked about Patrick Mahomes the night before. The Raiders score, too much time on the clock, they're going to march down the field. Same thing. Over 2 minutes left, here comes Brady, going to march down the field. Only needs a field goal to tie, that's easy. He'll at least get the field goal, then touchdown, game over. As we see this play out time and time and time again, Buccaneers this time win.
Now, did you like that 3rd-and-8 play call to run it? It's on Tampa's 22. You're already at that point in field goal range. Tampa, they still had a timeout left. They had two timeouts, so they take their second timeout there. So they still had one remaining. Were you with me where they should have thrown the football there on 3rd-and-8 when you got 2:46 left? You may as well just be aggressive, especially with the way that Tampa's pass defense has been. You go get a first down, the game's over.
And especially, too, with the way like the Rams' passing offense is set up, a lot of screens, a lot of easy throws for Jared Goff. Like, you could call a play to where, you know what, sure, he threw two interceptions in the second half, maybe you're a little nervous. You can call an easy throw there. You know, something across the middle, maybe a little wide receiver screen to at least put yourself and give yourself a chance, like you said, to get the first down and kill the clock.
Now, if you had a Rams team that was running the football, getting 8-9 yards per carry, last night they had 37 yards rushing. And the Bucs, if I'm not mistaken, they're the number one run defense in the league. So, if I'm the The Rams, you got to throw, even though I don't trust Goff with the game on the line, you got to throw the football because you're already in field goal range. It's not as if you're running the football to get you 2-3 yards, 4-5 yards closer. Go throw the football there. Why wouldn't you throw the football with Jared Goff in that spot? Was that McVay maybe not having confidence in Goff? And we got to a point where I had two interceptions in the second half. We were able to weather that storm. Let me just make them burn their second timeout. I know they still have one more remaining, but that timeout it's kind of irrelevant. Yeah, you want teams to burn the timeout, but when you're giving Brady like 2:40 left, you can make a case you don't even have an extra timeout. Doesn't really do much for you. One less timeout doesn't really do much for you.
Especially when you only need a field goal. So, you know, that's what, 30, 35 yards less that you need if you need a touchdown. So you're right. Like, the time is almost, there's so much there, it's almost irrelevant. I'm with you. I think what Darrell Henderson, I think it's off the top of my head, 8 carries for 5 yards.
That was terrible.
So you're just hoping to get lucky, essentially, and rush for a first down. You're not feeling confident when you hand the ball off that, hey, we're going to get this. Play conservative.
And then on the other end, so we criticized there in that spot, and I don't want to be too critical on the Rams. They're 7-3. They are tremendous. They won the football game last night, so they survived that. But for Brady and the Bucks on the other end, I just don't get two things. Number one, why this offense hasn't taken off. And then number two, the failure to adapt and the constant deep shots for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, in that spot last night, when he throws that interception, they're at Tampa Bay's 38. You don't got to throw the ball as far as they're trying to throw the ball in that spot. You just don't have to. You know, he ended up there at Tampa's 38. He ends up getting picked off at the Rams 37, or a little bit shorter than that because I think there was a return for a few yards. So you're throwing the ball from Tampa's 38 to basically the Rams 32 with a 4-5-6 yard return, whatever it ended up being. I just don't get the approach by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have so many weapons. Godwin, Evans, Antonio Brown. Haven't you seen even when Brady doesn't have weapons in New England? They had so much success. And yeah, they were that year with Randy Moss. They took so many deep shots. But that was an all-time great connection. I would just spread him out, and you could have dinked and dunked down the field, especially when the Rams have such a good pass rush, you know, last night. And I know Donald didn't play his best game, but the Rams were clobbering Brady. Do quick, short passes. And trust me, I get you're not going up against an easy defense. Passing yards, total yards, rushing yards, fewest points allowed. The Rams are top five in all those categories. So the constant deep shots, I didn't get last night. I didn't. And Tampa Bay is a team to me where would you, if I said they're disappointing, do you agree with that? Or is the word disappointment too strong of a word where people go, oh, disappointment is like the Texans. Disappointment is like the Cowboys. I think there's different levels of disappointment. The fact that we're 11 weeks in, and we've really only seen the Bucs be great in one game this year against a legit opponent, and that was the Green Bay Packers, where their defense had 2 picks on Rodgers, and one was the pick six. Other than that, the Saints game, the entire team, not just Brady, and Brady was bad last night. I'm not making excuses for Brady. But the entire team against the Saints twice, horrible. Against the Bears, offense couldn't do nothing. Last night, offense barely did anything. It gets to a point where you kind of have to look at the Bucs and say, maybe it's just get to the playoffs and see if they can find that gear in the postseason. Because they play Kansas City this week. I know Kansas City's defense isn't all that great. Patrick Mahomes is going to carve up this Bucs secondary. And I've actually been pretty optimistic on the Bucs defense this year. But I'm not expecting the Bucs to beat Kansas City. So the Bucs are going to fall to 7-5. They're still going to make the playoffs. Like, when they go to 7-5, people are going to come on the air on Monday and say, the sky is falling. The world is coming to an end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's not. Because if you look at the rest of the schedule, just like I told you after the Saints game, that the Bucs would be in fine shape because of the way the schedule pans out until the next Saints game. You look at their schedule after they play the Chiefs, the Vikings, the Falcons, the Lions, the Falcons. So they're going to be 10-6, 11-5 going into the postseason. But unless if they beat the Chiefs, you're not going to go into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playoff run saying, wow, I feel really great about what this team has accomplished this year. So what's disappointing to me with Tampa Bay, and this, I have been someone through the first 10 weeks of the season, I've been a believer in Tampa Bay. And this is where I'm starting to change my tune on them. Wake me up what happens after this Chiefs game. Wake me up what happens in the postseason. Because if you don't beat the Chiefs, there's not going to be a win other than the Green Bay Packers game this year where you could say, wow, I was really impressed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Bucs beat a legit opponent. Because the Lions stink, the Falcons stink, and the Vikings, they couldn't even beat the Dallas Cowboys when Kirk Cousins threw for 300 yards, Dalvin Cook was over 100-something yards, Thielen had two touchdowns over 120 yards, and Justin Jefferson had 86 yards with the touchdown. There's not going to be a game other than the Chiefs where you say, wow, here comes Tampa Bay. So I look at Tampa Bay right now, as Jerry Jones once said, get your damn act together. We're 11 weeks in. Yes, you're 7-4. Yes, most Tampa Bay fans are going to sign for 10-6, 11-5. It was 100% the right move to get Tom Brady. Brady's had a good season statistically. But last night, he did not play well. And this is coming from the biggest Brady fan there is. Tom Brady last night did not play well. The two interceptions were bad. Even with the mistakes. You know, game's on the line and he makes the biggest mistake of the game by throwing that pick. And we'll play you some news brief sound later. Bruce Arians, too. And I like Bruce Arians. Temple guy. You know, I've interviewed Bruce Arians countless amount of times. But every time you hear Bruce Arians speak this year, he's throwing someone under the bus. He's taking no accountability. So this Bucs team, I'm not telling you they're a bad team when I say they're disappointing. But I thought this team was really going to pop off. I thought you were going to look at them as legit Super Bowl contenders. And right now, the only reason you still may view them as a Super Bowl contender is because of what? The fact that the NFC, there's not a team that you go out and say, oh yeah, that's definitely a team that's going to get to the Super Bowl. Like in the AFC, who are your Super Bowl contenders? It's the Chiefs and the Steelers. Those are your Super Bowl contenders. Teams like the Bills, the Titans, the Colts, they're good teams, but they're not Super Bowl contending teams. There's a difference with the way that they're playing. In the NFC, what's Drew Brees going to look like when he comes back from his 11 rib fractures, which no one even knew you had 11 ribs? Can you trust the Packers' run defense? Seahawks, you can't trust their defense. Rams, you love their defense, but their quarterback is too inconsistent. So the Bucs still have a shot, but to expect the Bucs to embark on this long playoff run, I can't do it anymore. I can't expect that. Because what I saw from them last night is a team that is still not on the same page. And it's one thing to tell me, all right, it's week four, it's week five, condensed offseason. Let me remind you with COVID and everything, new team, new system for Brady, blah, 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 blah. Now we're 11 weeks in, and this team is 7-4. This team's going to be better than what they were last year, where they only won 7 games. This team's going to make the playoffs. Maybe they win a playoff game, but for me to think that they're going to win 3 playoff games in a row to get to a Super Bowl, with the levels of inconsistency that we've seen this year, I can't expect that. And when they play better competition this year, they failed. The Saints, they failed. The Rams, they failed. And Chicago, they are not world beaters. I don't care what their record said at the time. Bears have a good defense. Offensively, that offense is embarrassing. And Nick Foles had one opportunity and got the job done. So do you see a constant theme here? When the Bucs lose games, it's the way that Brady has lost games all throughout his career. Not a lot of them. But when he loses, it's because of what? The other team gets pressure on him. Saints made it very uncomfortable for him. The Bears made it very uncomfortable for him. And the Rams did so last night. And he'll still have a chance in some of those games where he doesn't play well. Saints games, not so much, but against the Bears and the Rams, he had chances. And he came up small. Came up small last night against the Rams. So I look at the NFC, and I think the Bucs, they've been disappointing, and I thought they would be better. And then in the AFC, the team that has been disappointing, where their season's not over, they're still 6-4, you still think they probably make the playoffs. But the Baltimore Ravens have been another disappointing team. Where Baltimore, Lamar Jackson has taken a step back. I know they're missing Marshall Yanda. I know that Ronnie Stanley is now done for the season. You take a glance at their receivers, not great, not getting separation. And now they're going to have two running backs out if they play this game on Thursday night. How can they play this game on Thursday night? Other than the NFL just doesn't care. Because what I read today, earlier in the week, you found out it was J.K. Dobbins and then Mark Ingram. COVID, out for Thursday. Now, two other players or two other people tested positive today, right? That was the word down from the NFL, Trace. That's what I thought I saw. As you're, what are you eating on, right? What are you eating right now?
Just some tortellini.
Oh, tortellini with what?
Sorry.
No. You don't have
champagne
to
vodka sauce.
Oh, what's champagne vodka sauce?
Well, I guess I shouldn't say, I'm sorry.
You getting drunk right now?
Hopefully. it's penne or it's vodka sauce, but instead of vodka, I guess it's champagne.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that.
I said that. Neither did I. But my mom
does
found
it taste like rigatoni alla vodka?
Yeah, it actually tastes pretty good. I like it.
So, it kind of look. Are you surprised that this Ravens-Steelers game is supposedly now?
So, to your point, yeah. So it's by the way, five players
it's
and
five
players, staffers.
Yeah, I was just going to say four staffers, I think it was.
I was just going to, like, remember a few weeks ago when the 49ers and Packers played and both teams had COVID issues?
Yeah,
I think
you're
it's
right.
One of those things where Thanksgiving night, prime time, best matchup of the day. Unless this is like the Ravens have like 30 players available, I think they're going to try to play.
So the tweet from Schefter, Ravens now have five players and four staffers test positive for COVID this week. Thursday night game versus the Steelers is still on as scheduled, but once the source warned that further positives could mean postponing it. So basically that means if anyone tests positive tomorrow, then they'll postpone the game and maybe move it to Saturday night, I was reading earlier, because you have the NBC, they want that exclusive night, exclusive window, Thursday night, big deal with everyone after, people will be watching, but a lot of people will be sleeping because of the fact that we'll all be fat and tired from all the food that everyone's going to eat, the gluttonous amount of food, but we'll see if that game is going to be played on Thursday. But the Ravens are a team, getting back to my original point, just like the Bucks, where the record's still fine. I would still think most would expect the Ravens, now it's not a lock, I still think Tampa's a lock to make the playoffs, but the AFC a little bit more crowded. I would still expect the Ravens to make the playoffs, but the Baltimore Ravens are a team, even with the AFC, you'd think there's only two teams that have a shot to get to the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs and Steelers. I can't see the Ravens turning things around and get into the Super Bowl this year. Now, the Ravens are 6-4. I would have to assume they're going to lose this game to the Steelers, right? If you go win-loss with me here, Trace, Steelers beat the Ravens for the second time.
Yes.
So that puts them at 6-5. Then they play the Cowboys. Ravens beat the Cowboys.
Should. They look better with Andy Dalton.
Ravens also should have beat the Patriots, but they didn't. So that's 7-5. Then they play the Browns. I think that's a close game. I think it's a close game. For argument's sake, let's just say they lose that game. Let's say Cleveland finally shows up against someone in the NFC North and Ken Carmen's dancing and having fun. So that puts them at 7-6. Then the final three games of the season, Jaguars, W. Giants should be a win. Bengals would be a win. So they get to 10-6. Not a lock to get in. Depends what the tiebreakers are, what Miami does, what the Raiders do. The loser of the AFC South, how that shakes on out. So if the Ravens are going to be 10-6 or 11-5, just like how the Bucs are going to be 10-6 or 11-5. The question is, who do you feel better about? Because both these teams, you look at them and you go, there's so much potential there, but they're not meeting their potential. I would say I feel better about the Bucs, even though the Ravens have a better defense than the Bucs. You look at the talent on the offensive side of the ball. The Bucs with Brady, Evans, Godwin, Gronk, Antonio Brown. Like, who's Lamar Jackson throwing the football to? His best, other than Mark Andrews, his best wide receiving option is Marquise Hollywood Brown. That's a problem. Unless if Dez Bryant somehow goes on some run. I saw him make a play on Sunday, have a little catch up against the Tennessee Titans. So you're in a situation where I wonder what people think. You more believe in the Ravens or you more believe in the Bucs? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We come on back. I got two potential head coaches. I got one if Cincinnati elects to make a change, one guy that could go there. And then how about this? Would the Buccaneers consider making a change? And if they do, I have a name to float out there.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I was reading an article today on one of those SI sites for the specific team, this one from the Bengals team. And the article was authored by Elise Jesse. And it was talking about how multiple sources have described the culture in Cincinnati, talk about the Bengals, as more of a college-level environment instead of a professional locker room. One member of the team said that the culture didn't even compare to a college locker room. It's worse, they said. Multiple people within the organization believe players are staying quiet because they don't want to lose playing time. They say that there is very little trust between the players and the coaching staff. Now, Zach Taylor declined when asked about this story. And then one source said, I've never seen that in my life. It was awkward. Instead of pulling the two-time Pro Bowler aside and talking directly afterwards, talking about the Carlos Dunlap situation, the coaching staff held a team meeting and they singled out Dunlap in hopes of setting a team standard, but multiple players were rubbed the wrong way when they watched this situation play out. So who knows what's true, who knows what isn't true here? And whenever you hear anonymous sources, not that anonymous sources aren't important because they are, but without knowing who said it, when you have a 53-man locker room, there could be 48 guys that like the coach. And then five players could be upset, and that could be presented and kind of turned in a different way. Now, I would assume Zach Taylor is in his second year. I would assume Zach Taylor is going to be back next year as the Cincinnati Bengals head coach. But where there's smoke, maybe there's a fire in this case, and maybe Zach Taylor and the Bengals move on. Now, with how long they kept Marvin Lewis around, and don't get me wrong, I know we poke a lot of fun at Marvin Lewis. Oh, I've never won a playoff game. The guy did a good job in Cincinnati. He didn't do a great job, never won a playoff game. But from where that franchise was to consistently get them in the playoffs, Marvin Lewis gets some criticism that is fair, and then some is just unfair. Some people treat Marvin Lewis as if this guy was a terrible head coach. He was not a terrible head coach in the National Football League. Now, would I want him to be an NFL head coach again? No, I don't. Do I believe the Cowboys were ever seriously interested in bringing in Marvin Lewis? No, I don't. I think they brought him in just to fulfill the Rooney Rule requirements. But the Bengals, with how patient they were with Marvin Lewis, where they should have fired him years ago, Zach Taylor should not be on his second year as the coach of the Bengals if that was going to be the guy, let's say. You know, the Bengals probably should have made a move three, four years before that, let's go. You know, somewhere 2 or 4 years before that. So with how patient they were with Marvin Lewis, do I expect the Bengals to fire Zach Taylor after two seasons? No, I don't. Now, I don't know what Zach Taylor is as a head football coach. And I'm not saying that you know if you have your future coach 2 years in, but you at least like to have some clue. Now, last year, they were in no position to win. This year, I don't really get on Zach Taylor for how aggressive he was with Joe Burrow. I know a lot of people now are going to say, oh, it's all on Zach Taylor, this injury. That injury could have happened the second play of the game. Now, could you make a case maybe they should have ran the football a little bit more? Yes, you could have. Now, the offensive line's been garbage. For most part, though, this year, we kind of looked at the Bengals as saying, that was a team that's young, they're up and coming, they have their quarterback. You know, they have a good running back in Mixon when he's healthy, which he hasn't really been all that healthy this year. At wide receiver, you like Higgins, you like Boyd. But they got to build better within the offensive line. And now, because of the fact that Joe Burrow's done for the season, there is more of a negative feeling, a negative vibe with the Cincinnati Bengals. So I do think Zach Taylor is going to be back as the head football coach for your number three with the Bengals. Would you agree with that, Trace? Or do you maybe say, I move on and I go get someone else? Because I do have a name for you. Give me your answer first.
I would tend to agree. I think it's a thought I'm pausing, but you brought up a good point with how patient they are. I think you're right. The patience pays off. He'll be back next year.
Now, if they get rid of him, and I threw this name out last week to replace Anthony Lynn with the Chargers, Joe Brady to the Chargers? How about Joe Brady to the Bengals? LSU connection, team him up with Burrow, young, innovative offense of mine, and you let that be the two faces of your franchise for years and years to come.
Now, that would be a lot of fun. That, you know, talk about someone who knows how to protect Joe Burrow. I think that would be good for Joe.
But they're not going to fire Zach Taylor. Not 2 years in. Especially when we were given this team credit. Not that the Bengals were in a great spot, but they did beat the Tennessee Titans. You know, we gave them credit for how they showed up and battled in week two up against the Cleveland Browns. I see when you have articles like this, you raise an eyebrow. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's false here. If you start to see more stories like this circulate, then maybe. But you also got to remember, you had one coach that did something for so many years. Now you have a new coaching staff. They're in year number two. You got some players that realize this team is still a few years away and they want out of town, like Carlos Dunlap. Carlos Dunlap left, and I'm sure there's some players that didn't like some decisions that this regime has been making. And it's a bad football team. So when you have a bad football team, some of these words in this article could be true, and then some of it you got to kind of take with a grain of salt. Because you don't know how much playing time that player is getting as a younger player playing at his position and things along those lines and those nature. So there's one coaching suggestion. I don't think Zach Taylor is getting fired, but if they do say, hey, we're going to move on, clean up here, move on from Zach Taylor, I would have to imagine they target Joe Brady. Now here's another one. How about Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers part ways? Now, Jason Light's not going to be the one that's leading that decision if that happens. This would be Tom Brady influence. And Brady kind of would have his LeBron moment where LeBron gets to L.A. or LeBron in Cleveland deals with 1 year of David Blatt, then gets rid of David Blatt. LeBron also got rid of Luke Walton. And LeBron didn't get his guy. LeBron wanted Ty Lue, and they weren't willing to give him a longer deal. And LeBron had to settle for Frank Vogel. Is there any chance, Trace, in your opinion, how much of a percentage of chance would you give it that Brady goes to Jason Light in this offseason and says, hey, you have me for another year. I may want to play longer than that. I'm not getting along with Bruce. Bruce is throwing me under the bus after games. Even though I thought it would be enjoyable playing for Bruce Arians, I want to bring someone else in. I have a name of a guy to suggest. And the dangerous part here is Brady is only going to play another, what, year or two at that? That coach, then you're tied to him for a while if you move on from Bruce Arians. You think there's any chance Brady just gets so frustrated with Bruce Arians and says, I want him out of town?
1%.
I don't think it's a big number as well. I would say probably, I go 12%, 8%, 12%.
Wow, very specific.
Yeah, so somewhere in that range. I don't think it would be one. I don't think it would be any greater than like a 13, 14, 15%. I give it a minuscule chance. But if Brady does that, Brady would want his guy, right? And he's not bringing in Bill O'Brien. You can't justify bringing in Bill. Someone tweeted me Bill O'Brien when I brought this topic up on Twitter. How about Josh McDaniels? Now, Josh McDaniels would be a Brady hire. Arian said they weren't bringing AB. Brady still got his way. The thing, though, with McDaniels is, if Brady only plays another year or two, you give him a 4 or 5 year contract, you still got 2, 3 years left on that contract when Brady walks away. So those are probably two moves that don't happen. But if the Bengals and Bucks elected to move on, I think those are two intriguing names, Joe Brady and also Josh McDaniels. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Come on back. We'll update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with a news brief.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The Unstoppable Drive of the Week is sponsored by Old Spice. Triple protection, Old Spice sweat defense. It's not just strong, it's strong, strong. The Chiefs faced a three-point deficit with just 143 remaining in the game on Sunday Night Football on NBC, yeah. And it proved to be a breeze for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City offense as the Chiefs, how about those Chiefs, marched 75 yards in just 1 minute and 15 seconds to score the game-winning touchdown, as that was Mahomes to Travis Kelce with just 28 seconds remaining. We got a big show tomorrow, by the way. You know, we still got time here. We got about like a minute, an hour 20 left. If it was a minute 20 left, I'd be packing on up and getting ready to go. But we do got an hour 20 left. Tomorrow, we're treating it as if it's a Friday because I'm off Thursday. I'm off Friday. I don't even know who's filling in Thursday, Friday. You got the schedule there? Can you pull up a schedule? Did they send you out a show schedule, Ryan Tracicki? I'm going to imagine, if I take a guess, I'm going to say it's a combination. I'm going to say Thursday or Friday. One of those days, it's going to be Jody Mack. The other day, it's going to be Chris Moore. Those are usually the guys that fill in for me, Jody Mack and Chris Moore. I'm going to assume that it's going to be a split. I don't know who's doing Thursday, who's doing Friday, but that would be my assumption. You got that schedule in front of you?
It is currently loading, just like the College Football Playoff rankings getting revealed earlier today. A little slow. Here we go. Okay.
So,
Thursday. I hope the boss is listening. This computer stinks.
Okay. Well, you think they're going to speed up your computer because you're complaining?
Well, that's also true. Okay.
Probably not.
6 to 10.
It's on Thursday.
This is on Halloween. I mean, Halloween.
Halloween.
See where my brain is at.
Yeah, I think you're a little slow, too.
Thanksgiving. You are correct. One of the two. Do you want to take a guess? Who is taking over on Thanksgiving?
Jody Mack seems to be Thursday.
Jody Mack is on Thanksgiving night.
Okay, and then Friday's
Friday CMO? Is no. It is not one of the two names you listed.
Wait, so I was wrong then. I said Jody Mack and... Oh, I was right on one of the two.
I worded that wrong. You were right on one of the two on Thursday.
So Jody Mack is doing Thursday.
Correct. He is not doing Friday, and neither is Chris Moore.
Can I get a hint on Friday? Do I know this person? You think I know this person?
Yes. You know this person. He is...
Vince Quinn?
No. He's in your age range, and he is not... From here is a national. He's a weekend host.
He's a weekend host close in my age range.
Well, in the ballpark,
and it's not Vince.
No.
Can I get another hint? Weekend host.
He's a weekend host.
It's not Filippone. He's not close in my age. Is it Filippone?
No, it is not.
He's younger, but come on, give me another.
Also, we're talking about relative. You know, relative. I'm trying to think how to give it away. He's not.
Come on, you have a brain. You have a Penn State education. I know that doesn't mean much, but let's go.
He works afternoon drive.
Afternoon drive
in a market for a team that just recently won a championship.
For a team that just recently won a championship. So it's not someone from LA.
No.
And it's not someone from Tampa.
No. Their team in their market is the reigning champions in their sport.
What sport?
Well, that would give it away.
But just tell me the sport.
Football.
Carrington Harrison.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's great. I love Carrington. He's a good dude. Hopefully hopefully he doesn't have any connection problems because Friday I am off. I'm not filling in for Carrington Harrison. Gotcha. See, now since we're in a different season, my mind went... NHL Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, NBA Los Angeles Lakers. For MLB, the Dodgers, you don't even think of football as a team that just recently won a championship because it was, yes, currently the same year, but different sports season calendar, if you get what I'm saying. So, all right. So I got Simo on Thursday. No, Jody Mack on Thursday. You can't have Simo working on Thanksgiving. I don't know if he'd be able to utter words on the air.
Well, he is. He's a few hours before us.
Oh, is it? But that's better. That's early in the day.
He is working the Bill Ryder shift. Ryder than you.
That's perfect for Simo.
That's amazing. You talk about a win.
Now, yeah.
2 hours in
it's
and
the
out?
Same, it's the same pay rate as all the other shows. They still pay you the same, and it's 2 hours. So you get Simo from 10 to 12. Well, give me the whole lineup on Thursday. Give me that entire lineup on Thursday. Let me guess. JK is in for DA 6 to 10.
You are correct.
10 to 2 is Chris Moore.
Yes, sir.
Who now, is in 12 the noon to 3? I don't even know who fills in for. Is it a regular room filling?
It is not. It is another weekend host here.
Can I get a hint on that? Ken Carmen.
No, Ken. But a similar.
Anthony Lima.
No, a similar build to Ken.
So a large guy.
A large fella. A
little husky guy. So much for doing the news brief in this segment, by the way.
Works in the market that your favorite team is also located in.
Boston?
In the metro
Mets?
Area. Boston, Patriots.
But in the, oh, in Andy Gresh?
Yes.
Gresh lost a lot of weight.
I know, but him and Ken and Sean go back and forth about, you know, big guys.
So that's 12 to 3. Now, 3 to 6 in for Tiki and Tierney that day.
No TV. It says on here, no TV.
Just, no TV.
Just so you know.
In for Tiki and Tierney that Filippone.
Yes, sir.
Filippone. Wait, he's doing 3 to 6. That's a
yeah.
Because he's taking the vacation on his afternoon show in the Fan, because he's afternoon drive out there in Pittsburgh.
He is giving up the local duties for the national mic on Thanksgiving.
And then 6 to 10, we said, is Jody Mack. 10 to 2 in for JR.
This might be a tough one. I'm not sure you're going to get this one.
Is this person in the regular lineup?
No.
So
mostly an update anchor on CBS Sports Radio.
Mostly an update. Oh, it's not Jay Berman. He's no longer here. But Jay usually would used to do the national shows. Oh, is it Pierno?
No, it is not.
It's not Ackerman.
It is not Rich Ackerman. He does his Sunday show.
Who?
This is a tough because I don't think he's ever. No. He's also a weekend anchor as well. Like not a weekday anchor. Like you're saying, Bogus. It is a weekend only anchor.
All right, who is it? I'm not gonna
Pete McCarthy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Pete, perfect. 10 to 2. And then 2 to 6. I'm assuming Amy's not working, right?
She is not. Are we looking at, which day are we looking at
I
here?
Think
two
I
different
know.
Hosts.
Oh, okay. Wednesday,
Thanksgiving
Wednesday
day?
Wednesday into Thursday. Yeah, I'm going to say it's Alex Reamer.
You are correct.
Okay, now who's Thursday into Friday?
It would be Rich Herrera out of
Rich
San
Herrera
Diego.
Out in San Diego, of course. All right, so there you go. That's a lineup. Now, we can't squeeze a news brief here because I didn't expect us to just BS on who's going to be the lineup. I'll save the listening audience the pain of hearing them the Friday lineup. Is the Friday lineup the same as the Thursday lineup for the most part?
Hold on.
Now, I didn't mean that the Thursday lineup was bad, but I'm talking about us guessing who it is. I bet you most people don't care about that.
There are two similarities.
Okay. Just give me the Friday lineup. I'm not doing the guessing.
All right. So Rich Herrera, Kincaid in for DA as normal. Robin Lundberg now has that coveted writership.
Robin Lundberg. I love this intro, by the way, on Saturdays. They go, here's your host, Robin Lundberg. Or at least that was
nice
the
deep voice.
That was the way, at least when I was doing the weekend overnight. So I'd hear that on the drive home. Or that's how it at least sounded to me. Here's your host, Robin Lundberg. Sounded Ooh. SNL. I doubt it's probably the same, but go ahead.
Could be the same guy.
I was delirious at that point driving home at 6 a.m. after a 2 to 6 a.m. shift.
Maybe that was it. Your mind playing some tricks with you.
Mm-hmm.
So after Robin, it will be Sean Pendergast in the noon to 3.
Okay.
Ken Carmen. They spelled his name wrong, but Ken Carmen, 3 to 6.
Yep.
And Carrington Harrison will be 6 to 10 on Friday with Pete McCarthy holding down the normal 10 to 2 on Friday as well.
Okay. And then who's doing the Friday into Saturday overnight?
That will be somebody that
Vince
you
Quinn?
Know well, Vince Quinn.
There you go. Gotcha. All right. If they play tomorrow, who wins? Chiefs or Steelers? That's the poll question today. Retweeted on CBS Sports Radio. Isaac Bruce going to join us coming up in a few moments. 67.2% say the Chiefs. 32.8% say the Steelers. Are people disrespecting the Steelers with that response? Because the Steelers are a 10-0 football team right now. I get it. The Chiefs are 9-1. They're defending Super Bowl champions. I don't think that's people disrespecting the Steelers. If I'm a Steelers fan, the only part, and you can't say that it was on this show. Now, people think that I can't stand Big Ben, which just is not true. But I was saying a few weeks ago that the 16-0 talk was going to start picking up for the Steelers. I remember telling you they were going to be 10-0 going into that Ravens game because we look at a lot of the schedules and we don't just operate week by week. We try to be forward thinking here on the Zach Gelb Show. If the Steelers take care of business and defeat the Ravens, they go to 11-0. Now, they still got the Colts on the schedule. They still got the Bills on the schedule. You got some tough games. I wonder when the first loss is going to come, if a loss does occur for the Steelers. But still, when does the conversation start to turn where people say the Chiefs are not better than the Steelers? And personally, I don't want to be a hypocrite here. If you ask me to do power rankings right now in the entire NFL, I'd say the Chiefs are one and the Steelers are two. I get it. The Steelers are 10-0, but it just speaks to, it's not disrespect to the Steelers. It's how damn good and damn impressive Patrick Mahomes is. Patrick Mahomes, dude's a stud. He's unbelievable. And yes, the Steelers definitely have a better defense than Kansas City. It's not even close. And the one concern with the Chiefs is that they can make that timely stop. And the Steelers' offense hasn't been great this year, but it's good enough, and Ben's having a really good season. For Mahomes, you saw what he did last year, down 24-10-10, and still got the job done in those three playoff games. So right now, if they play tomorrow, I take the Chiefs over the Steelers. It's not because I don't think the Steelers are a good team. I told you before the season started, I thought the Steelers were the third-best team, and then quickly realized that the Steelers were going to win the AFC North with what the Ravens were looking like and how the Steelers were playing. The Steelers maybe the most complete team in the league. However, with that being said, Mahomes is the great eraser. He really is. And even with an okay defense, or defense last year just made a timely stop, he got a ring on his finger because he's so damn good, and no lead against Patrick Mahomes is safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.